Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new MDX with available real-time traffic monitoring. More information at Acura.com.
Hey, I'm Alan Baker, the Cellar Rat. You know, for years, you've been able to sign up and pay $400 for Wine Boot Camp, where they take you out into wine country and give you a couple of days immersed in the harvest and winemaking experience. You get to participate as well as drink your way through an overview of all steps in the winemaking experience. And now you can buy a wine pod for $3,500, which is, well, most easily described as kind of the same concept as a bread machine, but for wine. And you feed the ingredients in the top, key ingredients here being grapes, obviously, and you shut the lid, hit a button, and in a few months, it spits out enough wine for 4 or 5 cases. And I might be oversimplifying, but that's just what I do. And for the past few years, you've been able to do what I did this year with the Pinot 2.0 project and throw something like $7,000 at Crush Pad in San Francisco, and they'll make you a barrel of wine from your chosen grapes. For twice the money here, what you'd pay for a wine pod, you get about 25 cases, which is 5 times the wine, so it seems like a little bit better deal, and the wine is delivered bottled and labeled. So I'm sure the wine pod is reusable, however. So now we're talking a fairly realistic way for a person to invest in starting a wine brand. But wait, there's more. Now you can not only be a dilettante winemaker, you can have someone set up an entire 4-acre vineyard for you in Mendoza, Argentina, to your specifications for $40,000 an acre. They do it all from planting to making the wine. You can show up as much or as little as you like as your vineyard and wines come to maturity. Do you have that dream of owning your own vineyard? Well, listen up. It's Ratcast number 60. Today, I'm in conversation with Michael Evans, who is the CEO of Vines of Mendoza. This venture is a multi-pronged business that's being built to facilitate tourism and winemaking for English-speaking clients in Mendoza, Argentina. Vines of Mendoza currently has a tasting room in Mendoza, which will direct ship something like 50 boutique Argentinian wines to customers in the U.S. These are all wines that cannot be found on store shelves here. They also help English-speaking wine tourists set up tours and plan their wine vacation in the emerging Mendoza region. You can get these wines shipped as part of their wine club, and if you don't have time, money, or patience to wait for a vineyard to start yielding fruit to make your own wine via that purchase an acre or several acres kind of plan, you can always visit them and they will help you blend your own barrel of wine from existing wines, which they'll finish aging and ship you the wine once it's ready to drink. Sound like a lot? Well, I thought so. So I caught up with Michael Evans to figure out what it's all about. And like a true entrepreneur looking to save a little cash, he was staying in a hotel that was, well, I'll use his words for the place in a bit, but luckily the guy in the room next door enjoying a little hotel pay-per-view had finished his movie before we started recording. So here we do sit in a somewhat seedy hotel in San Francisco. Where do you call home?
Home is Mendoza, Argentina now. I'm from Washington, D.C. and lived in L.A. for a while, but I've lived in Mendoza now for 2 years.
And what took you there?
Wine and beautiful mountains and great terroir and great people.
So did you know that going? Did you like pick a spot on the map and say, I'm going to go live where they make great wine? Or how did you actually decide to live there?
Well, I was my background is in tech and politics, and I worked on the John Kerry campaign, and we lost, obviously, so I had some time on my hands. And so I ended up going to Argentina to spend a couple weeks vacation after the election, met a longtime friend of mine, David Garrett. We went to Mendoza for a weekend. I've been passionate about wine for a long time and a little bit of a collector, and just went to Mendoza and fell in love. It's just an absolutely gorgeous place.
And so from you just did you ever come home? Did you have a backpack and that was it?
Well, I came back and moved my wine from a friend's house to a locker, but my stuff wasn't. I mean, the timing was perfect. My stuff was already in storage. I had sold my house early in the year. I was working in Florida on the campaign, so it was an easy transition to go. I think that if I had had to think about moving to Argentina and starting a wine startup, it wouldn't have happened.
A startup? Did you know
from the moment you decided that you were going to head down there, that you were going to try to get into the biz, or did you have the plan and financing before you actually set up shop down there?
No, we didn't. We didn't know anything other than we wanted to spend a few weeks kicking around Argentina. Had heard good things about it, and so we happened upon Mendoza. And really, over the last 15 years or so, David and I have toyed around with starting a business. So, as we looked at Buenos Aires and looked at the various opportunities in Argentina, everything from the worst idea was starting an American style strip club there in Argentina. Luckily for my mom's sake, we decided against that. But we came to Mendoza, and they're really fabulous wines there, and it feels like Wild West wine tasting. It's kind of the polar opposite in some ways of the worst of Napa. I love Napa. Napa's a great place. There's obviously world class wines and some great experiences there as well. But there's also tour buses and $20 tastings for average wine and crowds. And in Mendoza, there's access and there's opportunity. You go to a winery and you're actually tasting wine 9 times out of 10 with the winemaker, and you're tasting from barrel and you're tasting from from their personal selection. And it's a really refreshing thing for me, coming out of seeing so much of California kind of rock star wine land, to see people that are really their farmers, and they're making wine because you make wine from their crop, which are grapes, and they're making some great wines as well.
So take me from that moment where you realized how much of a wonderful place this was to where you are today with Vines of Mendoza, which is kind of a multi-pronged effort. Talk a little bit about getting to where you are today and what Vines of Mendoza is.
Well, the cool thing about Argentina now is that that the cost structure there is very low. The peso is now 3 to 1 on the dollar. And so for most things, it's about a fifth to an eighth of the cost. So it's one of the only places in the world where you can create world-class wines for a very low cost. And as a result, there's a lot of investment there.
Did you go looking for investment capital to start your company, or did you have savings, or how'd you bootstrap it?
Well, our premise was that Mendoza is going to be a very important wine capital. It's never going to be Napa, but it's going to be a very prime destination for wine tourists. And we think that in general, travel is changing, and people have had enough of sitting on the beach, and they want to go somewhere different and unique, and Mendoza is going to be one of those places. So I went to Italy and spent some time in Napa. David went to Australia, and we looked for ideas that work. You know, Mendoza is going to need everything from great wineries, world-class restaurants, great resorts, to their version of an Oakville grocery, to balloon rides, to limos, all of the businesses that are going to be needed there. So we took a look and looked at the businesses that work, and started with a couple of them.
Okay, so yeah, if I get on an elevator with you, what's the elevator pitch for Vines of Mendoza? How do you explain the whole picture to somebody quickly?
Well, the short answer is that in Mendoza, in Argentina, they speak Spanish, and we're kind of the translator, the tour guide for English-speaking people. And not so much in terms of taking them to wineries, but more in terms of creating an experience. We have Argentina's only collective tasting room. We've got 15 great boutique wineries that we serve in our main room. We've got 50 of the best wines in Argentina that are available by the glass. You know, it's tasting wine in Argentina is very different than in Napa. You can go to 8, 10, 15, if you were aggressive, in wineries in Napa, taste all kinds of different stuff. In Mendoza, they're spread out. It takes a long time. You might get to 2 or 3 a day. So what we were finding out is that tourists that are used to an experience like Napa or in Italy were frustrated because they came all the way to Argentina and they couldn't taste enough wine. So we've got a tasting room in the center of town where people can taste wine.
Do you actually organize travel, or do you just tell people where to go?
We have a trained bilingual staff that will arrange tours and restaurant reservations, drivers, translators, hotels, whatever you need. It's not the core of our business. We do it because we want to help people navigate Mendoza. Mm-hmm. We don't do tours. We refer people to other tour people, but basically we're like a concierge for our customers.
Okay, that says it was a good model. I was going to say you're just helping connect people, but you're not necessarily charging them and delivering a package.
No, it's
where they
all
just
free.
Okay. Okay, so then you also do something that I think is kind of an increasingly interesting model for people who are trying to kind of cross the boundary from wine lover to getting their hands on wine. You do have a package where people can buy a barrel of wine and show up and help make it. And there's a couple different ways you do that. Talk about that.
Well, even before we do that, but one important thing about our tasting room is that we have those bottles that people taste, just like in Napa. We have those bottles available for direct shipping. So if you live in the States and you come to Mendoza and you've tasted a wine in our tasting room or at a winery, you're not going to be able to find that wine in a grocery store or in a great liquor store or in a great wine store because it simply isn't a good distribution of Argentine wines in the States. So we've got a warehouse. We work with New Vine Logistics in Napa. We've got 18,000 bottles, and we have the widest selection of Argentine wine available for direct ship. So we have a wine club and direct shipping. So we solve the problem that people came to Argentina and were frustrated because they'd taste great wine and they couldn't get it back in the States.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In terms of our wine making, I mean, if you look at our business as we're trying to solve problems of tourists, English-speaking tourists that are coming to Mendoza. One problem is that people have a dream about making wine or owning their own vineyard. And so what we've done is we've purchased about 500 acres of land. We're dividing it into 4 and 5 acre parcels, and we're selling it to gentlemen farmers, people that have a fantasy about owning their own land, making their own wine. We sell it right now. They're selling for $40,000 an acre. That includes planting whatever varietal people want. It includes all the maintenance for the first 3 years. And then once the grapes are mature, it includes access to the winery to make the wine in the style that they like.
Okay, so I didn't know you did that. That's totally cool. So off the top of my head, it still sounds like a lot of money, but I bet that's a fraction of what you'd pay even in a kind of a cheap location in Northern California.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, in San Francisco, in Napa or in Northern California, you'd probably pay, $200,000 to $300,000 an acre for that, if you could find the spot.
How involved do I need to be, or can I be?
You can be as involved or uninvolved as you want. What we found is, basically it would start that we would talk to you about the type of wines that you want to create. And in as small lots as an acre. So you might want to plant 2 acres of Malbec, 1 of Syrah, and 1 of Cabernet Franc so that you could create your own blend. And you'd work with Santiago Achavo, our consulting winemaker, and our team, Diego Reyna and Pablo Jimenez, on figuring out what varietals you want to plant. And if you want to be very involved and want to decide which clones you want or which type of trellising that you want or anything else, any of the other myriad decisions that are made about winemaking, you can do that. For most of our customers, they say, what's going to make the kind of wine that I want to make? They want to know, they want to learn through the process. But Santiago, 96 points is hard to argue with. So once Santiago says that you should plant this and you shouldn't plant that, most people listen to him.
I pull the trigger now. I've got vines in the ground next year, I suppose, 2007.
Yeah.
What's my cost? I lay out the money for the whole thing. What are my costs between now and 3 years when I get that first official harvest?
Well, the cost for if you had a 4-acre vineyard, the cost would be $160,000, and you wouldn't pay anything for the next 3 years. Everything from the planting, the clearing, the planting, and the maintenance for the first 3 years while you're waiting on a crop is all included in that price. After that point, you would pay on a cost-plus basis for winery services. We think that it will be – right now, it's about $5 a bottle for winemaking, bottle, cork, capsule, label, and shipping to the States. So for a wine that's probably a $40 to $50 quality wine, it'll cost you about $6 a bottle.
What about vineyard management?
That's all included in that.
In the $5 a bottle?
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, that's good.
It's a lot less expensive to make wine in Argentina.
Okay, let's say I only want a barrel of wine. You can also show up and get your hands in the process without necessarily having to show up in January and prune your own vines.
Absolutely. And I mean, the focus of our custom winemaking, because of our location in Argentina, is really blending. One of the things, while we have the opportunity for you to come down during harvest and pick and sort and go through the fermentation process and all of that, it's difficult unless you've got a lot of time on your hands. Mm-hmm. You would probably need to spend a month in Argentina. And while we provide that, most people don't have that much time. So what we've done is we're sourcing wines from all over Argentina, the best wines, and then they'll work with our winemaker and our sommelier to define a barrel of wine and blend a barrel barrel of wine to their specific taste. It's a little bit more, it's probably a little more American than Argentine, and then it's a little bit more instant gratification. You know, probably after your blend, they're going to want to put it in barrel and certainly let it lay down in bottles for a little bit after, but it's a lot faster process than owning your own vineyard and going through the process.
This blending project, people show up, and these wines are already in stainless steel tank or barrels, so you're tasting something that was, so I'd be tasting something from the 06 vintage right now that's in a barrel, and I can choose what portion I want. Say I'm doing some, like a Carignan, you know, Grenache blend, which would be typical. I could figure out how much oak and all that kind of stuff, and then let it finish off in a barrel and then have it bottled and shipped.
Exactly, and it would start before you got there. I mean, typically we would send you a case of wine without labels and have you taste them and give us notes on what you liked, what you didn't like. Tell us what kind of wines you like to create a profile, a profile of the type of wines that you like. And so when you come down, we'll work with you to create a wine that is kind of, you know, if you were to invent and play around and mix and match and then put it in a certain type of barrel and make all those decisions that get made, you would get to do that. I mean, there's a lot of interesting kind of schools of thought on what makes a great wine, and some people say it's all in the vineyard, some people say it's in the barrel, some people say it's in the blend after. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a combination of all three of those things, but the blending part certainly is a magical part. Mm-hmm. You know, from what I hear, that's what Michel Roland, Helen Turley, you know, Aru, all of those folks, that's their strength, is coming in the last minute and doing that piece. So learning how to do that and having that participation, we think, is a pretty cool experience.
Talk a little bit about, for people who aren't familiar with wines from Argentina, talk a little bit, how would you describe the wines as compared to Californian or French or whatever?
Well, certainly Argentina is most known for Malbec. It's one of the five Bordeaux varietals, but it frankly is used in most parts of the world only as a blending grape. And it's very very fruit forward, and it really never showed its strength until a few years ago, as Nicolas Catena and a few other people started kind of making wines with Malbec that were, at least for my opinion, that were more typical to an American palate. More concentrated, a bit more oaky, very very fruit forward and drinkable. I mean, most Argentine wines are consumed within a year or two of bottling. Now you're seeing some really great wines coming out that I think will lay down for a while. But Argentina has been making wine for 500 years. Monks came across the Andes 500 years ago and were making wine. And it's the fifth largest wine producer in the world. And up until about 10 years ago, virtually all of it was consumed internally. So now you're seeing with really Nicolas Catena, Catena Wines started, you know, he's kind of the Robert Mondavi of Argentina. Mm-hmm. And he said that we can make world-class wines here and started to do it. And then you've had people follow him. Paul Hobbs has a great project down there. It's Cobos and Braemari lines that he's making some wonderful wines. In fact, he's got a phenomenal Cabernet that they've just released. You've also got people like Santiago Achával and Achával Ferrer, and their Wine Spectator's got an Argentine tasting report in the November 30th issue. And in there, I believe the top six wines from Argentina, four of them are from Santiago Achával. He's got a 96, 95, and a couple 94s. So you're seeing on the world-class kind of objective with quotes stage of points getting world class recognition for the wines there, and I think we're just getting started. It's a really exciting time to be there.
So talk a little bit about timing, because you're not necessarily competing with wine vacations for harvest time in California or anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere. Really, talk about when would people come to Argentina to actually get their hands on things.
Well, the weather's perfect between now and the end of April. It's a semi-permanent summer. It's very dry. It's a little bit like Palm Springs, but not so warm. Somebody today we were talking, and it's a little bit like Napa with Jackson Hole grafted on, because you've got vineyards, and then you've got these massive, you know, Andes that are rising, you know, to 13,000 feet right above you.
So there would be some sightseeing, perhaps, other than just the vines.
It's really beautiful. I mean, it's not a golf vacation spot. There's some golf there, but you know, you go there to taste wines and hang out with the winemakers and have phenomenal food and ride horses. And Argentina's got some of the best trout fishing in the world, and some of the best beef. And it's a little bit of a, you know, you need to be a little adventurous. You know, it's not, you're not going to go and check into the Four Seasons in Mendoza. But if you do go, you are going to be able to have some amazing wines and some great experiences.
Talk about your wine clubs. You've got at least two levels in your wine club, and these are all wines that you source from producers of what size in Argentina? And are they all from Mendoza?
Yeah, they're all from Argentina. I mean, our focus is boutique wines from Argentina. We have a couple of the larger producers simply because the wines are fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, our in our tasting room and our wine club, we believe in finding the great small producers. But sometimes the wines are too outstanding to ignore, even if they are from a big provider. So our wine club is ships quarterly. It's 4 to 6 bottles for our Acequia wine club. It is $120 per shipment, including shipping. And for our Reserve Wine Club, it's $220, including shipping. We've got really some amazing wines. It's part of what we're doing is shipping great wines from Argentina. Part of what we'll do is educate people about Argentina. We'll have typical Argentine recipes. We'll have stories about the winemakers. We'll have travel tips about what's going on in Mendoza so that people can learn about this new and exciting wine region.
That's Michael Evans, the CEO of Vines of Mendoza. They're also planning on building a resort to facilitate wine tourists right on the same property where the vineyards are being planted, and the winery will be as well. So soon you'll be able to go visit Argentina and never have to leave the Vines of Mendoza property to get all the best wines from... Hey, now, wait a minute. I see their diabolical scheme. No, it seems that they really are solving problems for those of us with limited Spanish language chops, and they're offering assistance if you're looking to explore someplace warm this winter. You can find out more about Vines of Mendoza at vinesofmendoza.com. And I tasted several of their reserve level wines, and they're all in the modern, big international style. And my favorite was the 2004 Achával Ferrer Cabernet Franc Vino Tinto, and it has a rich, bold set of aromas with licorice and a slight smell of grain. And it's spicy on the palate with thick cedar and cherry that are round on the mid-palate, leading to some significant drying tannin on the finish. This is a much bigger and bolder wine than even Californian Cabernet Franc I've tasted recently, but I wouldn't say that it's too fleshy to put on the table. It would go well with red meat dishes, which are, of course, plentiful in Argentinian cuisine. And I don't see this wine on their website, so unfortunately I cannot tell you what it costs. But if you've got $160,000 burning a hole in your pocket, just give me a ring and, contact Vines of Mendoza and get your vineyard planted so you're harvesting grapes in 2010. And oh, let me know when I can park my Airstream on your property down there to keep an eye on those vines. Something tells me about February a sunny spot in Mendoza is going to sound quite nice. Okay, I'm out of here, but let me know if you check out any of these wines. I hope to have a tasting of wines from Argentina in the next couple of months, so maybe we'll hear more from the Mendoza crew then. Check out cellarat.org for links from this Ratcast and some beautiful pictures from the property in Mendoza. I'm Alan Baker, the Cellar Rat, and I will be back with you soon.
Alt.